We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Nami Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. Nami Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterton is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterton County's businesses. Advancing Hunterton engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterton, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterton.
This designation will impose further sanctions and penalties on North Korea and related persons and supports our maximum pressure campaign to isolate the murderous regime that you've all been reading about and in some cases writing about.
President Trump earlier today at a cabinet meeting at the White House announcing that North Korea will have sanctions imposed on them that are the toughest to date. Trump also said North Korea will now be labeled as a state sponsor of terrorism. And after the violence along the border, which included one Border Patrol agent dead and another seriously injured, President Trump also took time to address the wall.
We talk about the wall. We're going to have the wall. Part of what we're doing. We need it. It's rough territory.
A second woman says Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken sexually assaulted her. The woman told CNN that Franken groped her during a 2010 photo op at the Minnesota State Fair. Many people are calling for Franken to resign. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Weekly Standard founder Bill Kristol met with former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney during a recent trip earlier this month and said Romney would have a unique role in the Senate if elected.
He might not be the most senior person on this committee or that committee, but his voice would be very substantial and very well respected, obviously, the moment he showed up in the U.S. Senate.
Alabama's last Democratic governor, Don Siegelman, told MSNBC this morning that the sexual misconduct allegations against Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore have both helped and hurt him.
You're seeing some of Judge Moore's support erode, but I think you're also seeing some of it solidify and intensify.
Siegelman also says Democrats in Alabama are working hard to win.
They are fired up, and Democrats are active in every part of this state. So if there is a chance to win this seat, it's going to be in this election.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said the monthly premium for Medicare Part B enrollees will be $134 in 2018, the same amount they paid in 2017. Also, the $183 annual deductible will not be changed in 2018 for Medicare Part B. The Part B program covers physician services, outpatient hospital services, certain home health services, and other items. Hillary Clinton and President Trump are still going after each other. USA Radio Network's Washington correspondent Justin Duckham has the details.
Former foes Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton continued to trade barbs over the weekend. "Crooked Hillary Clinton is the worst and biggest loser of all time," Trump tweeted. Clinton delivered a number of critiques of Trump's presidency over the weekend, including an interview with New York City's WABC in which she said that Trump disgraced the office. Justin Duckham, Washington.
Refillable water bottles reduce waste, but a new study finds they can also be germ magnets, as we hear from USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
It's a small study, but it finds your refillable water bottle may be dirtier than your dog's bone. As a team of the website treadmillreviews.net swabbed the lids of a dozen water bottles used by athletes, and each of the 12 contained about 1,000 times more bacteria than the average dog toy. Water bottles with a straw top were the cleanest, those with slide tops the germiest. Health experts say you probably won't get sick from your water bottle, but it's important to wash it regularly.
You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. This afternoon is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 47, west winds 9 to 14 miles an hour, but their gusts could be as high as 26 miles per hour. Tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low around 29, southwest winds around 7 miles per hour. Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 56, southwest winds 5 to 11 miles an hour. Tuesday night, there's a chance of rain mainly after 3 a.m., but it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 40, southwest winds 3 to 7, and the chance of precipitation is about 30%. Wednesday, a slight chance of rain before noon, then it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 50, light west winds becoming northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour in the morning, and mostly clear Wednesday night with a low around 27. Thanksgiving Day, you eat your turkey with it mostly sunny, and it'll be high near 44, and Thursday night it'll be cloudy with a low around 27. And they say Friday is going to be mostly sunny also, so you'll have a pretty good week.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we are very privileged to have with us today Velta Sushi. Did I say that right?
Yes.
After all this time, I should say it right. Velta is from the Hunterdon Medical Center, and she is with the Center for Nutrition, I believe, correct?
Yes, Center for Nutrition and Diabetes.
Okay. Now, I think I know what the RD stands for, Registered Dietitian?
Correct.
Okay.
You're learning as we
Boy, I'll tell you. I don't remember what CDE is, though.
Oh, okay. CDE stands for Certified Diabetes Educator. So
oh,
I can see
so you're an educator.
Correct.
You're going to educate me? There?
I can if you'd like, right? In regards to diabetes, I can educate you. Maybe
okay.
Not algebra or history.
Yeah, forget it, right? And you're also the Center for Nutrition and, what is it, diabetic?
Diabetes. So we see any nutritional concern somebody might have. It could be cardiac, it could be high blood pressure, you know, gastrointestinal. But in regards to diabetes, we also have special nurses that can, you know, teach you too as well in regards to your blood sugars, your medicines, and your blood sugar monitoring. So
okay.
It's more of a specialty for that.
Okay. I probably asked you this the last time you were on,
okay.
But that was a while ago.
Right.
So
for
we're going to
new listeners,
right, we're
you can
on,
ask,
yeah, we'll
ask
do it
again.
How did you get involved in all this?
Oh yes, so I started at Rutgers. I went to school. I did an internship, and then when I moved to Flemington, at first it was in North Carolina. But, 15 years ago, I moved here, and that was the job that was available. I really enjoyed doing diabetes. I like teaching, right? And
mm-hmm.
I'm not a good algebra teacher, and I'm not a good history teacher. And I've always kind of been intrigued by nutrition and good health in general. So that's how I started it, and I got a job here, and hopefully I'll still have the job for 15 more years.
There you go. I think you will.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there such a thing as pre-diabetic?
Yes. Yes, definitely. They even have that now as a diagnosis. They're going to call it impaired fasting or abnormal sugar and glucose. And it's the nickname for it, as we call it, is pre-diabetes, which just says your doctor's giving you a warning, that if you don't make some changes or, aren't careful with your diet and exercise habits, that you could develop diabetes in the near future. So, yes, nowadays they definitely have a diagnosis for pre-diabetes.
They've been telling me that for 15 years now.
Okay. And good. And then, you've told me before, you've made some changes. You do
yeah.
the things you need to do. So that's why it'll probably stay in that pre-diabetes range, for a while if Mother Nature lets it.
Yeah, well, Mother Nature better let it because
yeah.
But it's ironic. The reason I ask if there is such a thing is because last year I was hospitalized for a short period of
mm-hmm,
time
mm-hmm.
With an infection.
Mm-hmm.
Intestinal infection.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And one of the doctors said, there's no such thing as pre-diabetic. You're either diabetic or you're not. I said, well, then I guess I'm not.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Because I don't prick my finger and take my blood thing.
Right.
And, the doctor does his tests, every
yeah,
6 to 8 months.
Doctor.
And
that's the person you go to and you ask, how is my lab work? What's my situation?
Right.
And that's
and
the
they always tell you what it is. And,
yeah.
So I continue
And it's possible
on.
Sometimes some people, when they're in the hospital or in the very stressed situation, their lab work is a little bit different than what it usually is.
Right.
So, again, going back to your family doctor after the hospital stay and talking to him or her, that's
of course, important. I went to the hospital and they put me on a diabetic menu.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I says, why? What are you doing?
Well, believe it or not, that type of menu should be something we all get. Unless you're a child or somebody who's too thin, right? Or maybe unfortunately
poor appetite. You know, if you have to eat more, then no, that's not the right diet for you. But if for most of us, it's just a healthy meal plan that says you got to get your veggies, you got to get your fruit, you know, let's limit the amount of rice or potatoes we're going to send you or give you just to keep you on the healthy side, you know. So even if I was in the hospital, I'd say that's okay. If you want to give me that, I'll be okay with it. Unless, again, I'm not eating well, I'm not feeling well, or I have other medical conditions that make me need extra calories.
Yeah,
that's a whole different ballgame.
Right. But when, so your role at the medical center encompasses a whole ball of wax there, right?
We're outpatient. There's inpatient dietitian. So if you were in the hospital, sometimes you'd meet a dietitian there just for a few minutes. But then the ideal is when you feel better, when you go home, or you have freedom to come and go as you please, you can make an appointment with us here at the outpatient center.
Okay.
And then the whole bowl of wax would be any type of nutrition related concern. You come in, you sit down, you on your time or whenever the schedule allows.
Right.
And we spend usually an hour with you on your first visit to learn about what you're here for and what your medical, nutrition questions might be.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how is someone recommended? Do they come on their own or does the doctor recommend them?
It can be both ways. Most of the ones we get are doctor referrals. You know, the doctor says, hey, I think it's best you meet with a nutritionist. Either your cholesterol level's increasing, your blood pressure is increasing, or your blood sugars are increasing. It'd be best you maybe try to make some changes in your eating habits. But I've met people who wanted to do it on their own.
Okay.
And they give us a call. If you want your insurance to cover it, usually it's best to
ask your
doctor.
Yeah.
Right. But you could pay out of pocket and go on your own too.
What would be, say someone comes to you, doctor recommends someone, say like myself who pre-diabetic, quote unquote, what would you suggest to that person?
First, I would get your history, right, and say, what do you like to do? Do you eat at home most of the time? Do you eat out? Do you eat vegetarian? Do you eat meat? I would learn about you, and then it's very individualized. Overall, it's saying, hey, we've got to eat three meals a day. It's best to spread the intake out through the day. Let's try to eat what great-great-great-grandpa was focused in on, which is fruits and vegetables and fresh meat and, whole grains. Drink lots of water, But again, if you're a working, busy mom, for example, and you're not even home from 7 to 7, I would tailor it to that and say, okay, well, where do you like to stop and eat? If you go to a local restaurant, let's talk about what's your best choices there,
Or do you bring your own lunch?
Yes, if you have the time, please go shopping on Sunday and let's develop an idea for what would be your favorite but also healthiest lunch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would some of the, what would some of the diets consist of? Like for, say, a diabetic who's recommended, what would you tell them to eat much less of or what more of?
So carbohydrates is one of the things we focus in on trying to limit and say let's cut back. So we teach them a lot about carb counting, which means just like you got to count your money, right? You got to know what's in your bank account and how much you're going to spend on bills and what's left for holiday cooking and food. I've only got $50 left. Yeah. Oh, dear. But just like you count your money and you do a lot of things like that in the day, you got to count your food. You got to count your carbohydrates and just be more aware of that and say, oh, if I want this food, how's it going to affect me? Is it going to raise my sugars or not? So lower carbs, typically higher protein, lower, on the fats, lower on the calories, a lot of time to help with some weight management, lower calories just so that my body maybe decreases a few pounds and maybe my diabetes improves, my blood sugars improve because I've lost even just 5 pounds or 10 pounds.
Right.
So.
Do you recommend exercising? And?
Oh, yeah. It's not my specialty, but I definitely, it's not our specialty at the office, but we definitely know enough about it to give the general guidelines. If somebody has medical conditions where they see a physical therapist or they see an orthopedic doctor, then we, you know, we say please refer to the doctor on what is your limit. But, you know, the general guy or lady, you know, we would say you've got to exercise at least 150 minutes a week. Well, let's think of a plan. Can you go outside for a walk? Can you, you know, go to a gym? Can you start, you know, dancing? What's it called? You know, ballroom dancing with your wife once a week.
Yeah, I'll go to the gym.
Okay. Yeah, so we definitely, you know, include that as one of the goals, too, is some sort of physical activity.
Yeah, I do go to the gym, actually.
Good.
I try to go 3 times a week, but you know, sometimes it's only 2, but you know.
But it's still better than 0.
Exactly. That's the way I look at it, but I do try to do 3.
Good.
With the holidays coming up, especially like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Christmas, yeah, but Thanksgiving more so. What do you recommend for people, you know, to eat healthy, to stay healthy?
Absolutely. Well, what I have found, it depends on, you know, how you're just saying Thanksgiving and maybe not Christmas. It depends on the person. Some people say, I don't do much for Thanksgiving and I, you know, and I enjoy Christmas or any winter holiday.
Right.
Or the vice versa, right? So it depends on the family, depends on the person. We definitely start by saying enjoy the day. Right? It's a holiday, not a hollow week or a hollow month, right? We're not supposed to be picking at pumpkin pie from November 1st to November 30th. We're supposed to have pumpkin pie on one day, that wonderful thing.
Well, you can have mine because I don't like pumpkin pie.
Okay. Darn. Or, you know, when the other winter holidays come along, you know, enjoy that special day, but continue to be healthy. A healthy eater, and then also be even more mindful on the days ahead, you know, before that. You know, let's say, you know, your holiday is on Wednesday. Well, Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, you should still be back on your usual routine.
Right.
If you've got leftovers, you can eat them, but in smaller portions, right? You know, that leftover Thanksgiving turkey needs to last for a while, freeze some of it, you know. Stuffing, maybe give some of it away to the guests, make them go home with some of the extras.
It's funny because, I mean, I'll have a small piece of turkey.
Okay.
But all the other stuff I love, you know, like the stuffings and the, you know.
And you know what? If you were to ask what's the healthiest of that Thanksgiving meal, the turkey is one of the healthiest.
Yep. That's probably true.
Pile on the protein and the veggies, right?
But, you know, I mean, I don't mind the veggies. Certain veggies, not all of them, but, you know, certain ones. But, you know, like, I like broccoli.
Good.
And you know, carrots and spinach and all that stuff. That's fine. I eat that. I used to be big on potatoes. Used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. I mean, I'll have some, but not, you know.
What about stuffing?
I'll have a spoonful or so.
Oh, it's not your favorite.
No, I mean, it depends. You know, like, my wife makes good stuffing. I like it, but it's like, I don't know. I like it, but I can only eat a certain smaller portion of it.
Okay. So is it that because your brain has gotten so used to smaller portions?
Not smaller portions on everything, no.
Yeah,
you put a steak out.
So it depends on the food,
It
right?
depends on the food, yes.
Okay,
okay. But, you know, because of I have AFib, and because of that, when I was first thing, I was saying, "Well, I eat salads," and they said, "Okay, keep it up.
Yeah.
You know, keep eating the salad." So I eat salad, you know, 3 times a week, sometimes 4.
Okay.
And you know, I get my veggies that way too. You know,
because
I got carrots in it and broccoli in it, and you know that sort of thing. But you know. To me, it's very hard to go on like a, I don't want to call it a diet, but.
Right. We don't like that.
No, I don't like that word.
Right?
Yeah. But a different
healthy
meal plan.
Okay.
Because some of the stuff I don't like and never have.
Right.
You know, so I would need it.
Right.
You know, I'd rather go hungry than eat it, you know. But that's not good either, because if you're hungry, then you can eat more, you know, of the stuff you like.
Yes. So that's why I hear you. I definitely agree. And that's why the meal plan should be individualized, right? You know, it's it used to be, you know, very popular to say, okay, here's a printout of a meal plan. This is what you've got to do, like it or not, you know, tough cookies.
Right.
And then you'd say, well, I don't like half of this stuff. And you just throw the paper out and say, I'm going to go back to my original.
Right.
You know, so we, that's what we try to do is balance it with you. You know, we try to say, well, what do you like? And let's focus in on that. So, oh, you love steak, but you hate turkey? Okay, well, let's discuss that. And, you know, or which vegetables do you like? And try to eat them more often.
Well, what vegetables would you recommend?
During the holidays, the good news is that, you know, there are a lot of vegetables that you know, even if they have marinades or sauces, like, for example, green beans, right? Everyone thinks they have to be plain. No, well, you know, it's still okay to, you know, douse them with something, you know, some fancy sauce, but they're one of the healthiest options at that holiday, right? Cranberries. As long as we try to maybe make the sauce, the cranberry sauce, right, with a little bit less sugar, there's a lot of vitamins, a lot of antioxidants in them.
In other words, don't get the canned cranberry sauce, right?
The one that's, you know, although, because I did buy a can, right? My son loves it. So I'm like, okay.
I do too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's a holiday. Let's splurge. And believe it or not, the first ingredient is cranberries on that can. Cranberries and then sugar. That's the second ingredient. But I was pleasantly surprised that at least sugar wasn't the first ingredient on that can.
Right, right. That's funny.
Right?
What about salt?
Salt, yeah. If you're at home or, you know, at a person's house, it's more likely you're not going to get a very high salt intake from that meal, right? If you're at a restaurant for the holidays, you're more likely going to have salt in your diet, you know, a high salt intake mm-hmm. that night. And you know what the salt mostly comes from? The snacks or the appetizers. Yeah, so
the good stuff.
Right. Think about it. The turkey, the potatoes, the veggies, stuffing even, probably not that much. You know, it's going to have some, but not right. as high as the crackers and cheese and the dips and sauces that are...
The better. Shrimp and the...
Yeah. Shrimp by itself is fine, but
yeah.
it's the dip,
yeah.
you know.
You dip it in.
Yeah, the ketchup with sodium.
Of course.
Right. So salt can maybe even be a bigger concern that day.
Well, you know, I used to put salt on everything.
Oh, yeah?
My wife used to cook with salt. I put salt on top of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't anymore. I haven't for years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff that you eat has salt in it.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stuff you buy in a supermarket has a large amount of salt in
right.
it. But I look at it that I'm not adding salt on top of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
You're going in the right direction.
I'm going in the right direction. And, you know, I cut out salt. I don't, you know, I don't put it on anything, you
right.
know. I used to pour it on eggs, and I don't do that anymore.
Great.
And, you know, I don't put any of it on anything.
Good.
But, you know, you try to do what you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my opinion, and I'm no expert.
Yeah.
Obviously, this used to be my chest, but it's now over my belt. But, but you've got to, in order for any of this to work,
mm-hmm.
it has to be something that you can live with.
Correct. Correct.
You know, I mean, if people tell me, well, you can't have this and you can't have that, and you can't, I, you know,
right.
and I'll go back to the way I was, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, you have a guideline.
Yeah.
But I think that you have to adjust a little bit.
Absolutely. Be realistic. Be realistic. You know, and that's where mindful eating can work, where I'm still going to eat what I love, but I'm going to listen to my body and say, oh, I ate some of it. I think I'm full. I'm not going to just eat it because it's there. That's the hardest part. I think so many of us have gotten used to overeating as a norm, right? Like
right.
even if you and I don't know, name your favorite chip, you know, Doritos, potato chips, nothing, no?
Potato chips,
okay.
Yeah.
So even if you and I sat down to a few potato chips, we're probably satisfied after the first 10, 15, but we'll keep going.
Oh, yeah, as long as the bag is there. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Mindful eating would have been, I ate those 10 or 15. I said, oh, man, that was so good. I'm not that hungry anymore. I'm going to roll up the bag, put it away for next time, and say I'm going to eat it again, but down the road somewhere, you know, instead of just mindless means I'm, you know, munching.
Do you suggest eating a salad before the meal?
That's That's a good trick, yeah.
Because that would fill you. It fills me, so absolutely. That's what I do. I eat a salad like a lot of times before the meal.
Absolutely. Enjoy a big salad, or even if there's like cut up veggies, you know, let's say somebody's not serving a salad ahead of time. You know, you don't want to be rude and go into the kitchen, excuse me, where's the salad? But if they're not serving it ahead of time, maybe have the cut up veggies as much as possible. The shrimp. You know, with just a little of the red sauce, right? Fill up on some of the proteins, fill up on some of the veggies, or a salad if you're at home, you know.
At home I usually have one, you know,
before. Right, for all meals, right? Oh, yeah, that's great. Fill up on that. Have a glass of water, you know, to, again, fill up a little bit. And then when you sit down to the meal, eat the protein first. You know, like you said, you love your steak, you know, or what, pork or chicken, eat that. So that, again, that helps fill you up. So when you finally get to the nitty-gritty pasta, potato, or rice, hopefully maybe not even that hungry anymore. And some people say, I use them, right? Like you said, I used to love my potatoes, but I'm not even eating much of them.
Right.
You know, and I've met lots of families that have learned to just do like a protein and a vegetable at dinner. And I'm very proud of them. The question is, okay, what part of the day then do we want to work on here? You know, maybe dinner is not an issue anymore. But I have half a container of ice cream every night, or I sit down to half a bag of chips every night. Then let's work on that piece of the day.
Right. Well, I know with a lot of things, people will fall off the wagon. What happens if you have a client who falls off the wagon? How do you get them back on the, get them back on the saddle there?
Yes. You know? Most importantly, okay, you need support, right? So you fell off the horse, so to speak, or fell off the wagon. You're slightly injured. It's probably best, if you really pictured a horse and a wagon, for somebody to help you up, right? To help you get back on the saddle. That's what we can be, you know, the educators, the nutritionists, your own family. You know, you can go to your own husband, wife, brother, sister, and be like, hey, I fell off the wagon. I need some help. Can you, work with me? So that's what we're there for, you to help you remember what the guidelines were. Say, hey, it's okay. We're all human, right? We're all going to fall off the wagon once in a while. I even had a lady who this week, she's been on healthy eating kicks before and then fell off on and off. And her newest goal is her daughter, who lives a mile down the road, is going to help her. That's getting back on the on the wagon and getting support.
Right.
Because the daughter is willing to cook and say, Mom, hey, listen, I'm cooking for, whoever it is. I'm going to just make extra and run down to your house and give you those extra veggies, extra, healthy, good things.
Right.
Her mom, the lady wasn't feeling well or something,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of support out there. If you fall off the wagon, that's okay. Just pick yourself up and turn the other cheek and say, let's try. And holiday eating for one day, like if you and I splurge on Thursday, that's not falling off the wagon. That's being realistic, right?
Right.
That's saying, I'm going to have fun today. I'm not falling off my wagon. I'm just, what metaphor. Yeah. I'm on the wagon still, but having a little fun. On a bumpy road on the wagon. But Friday, Saturday, I'm still on the wagon again, right? I'm still trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle and eating habits after that fun day.
Yeah. What is mindful eating, and how can it help you at Thanksgiving or holiday seasons?
Okay. Mindful eating means you're paying attention to your own hunger cues. You're paying attention to if I'm truly hungry right now or not. Am I just going to eat because the food's there, right? As I mentioned before, with the chips, right? That's mindful mm-hmm. eating. Just saying, I only want a few. Okay, I think I'm not that hungry anymore. Let's walk away or let's put it away. So that mindful eating can be very helpful over the holidays because it still allows you to eat all your favorites but not binge on them, right? Mindless. Mindless eating means I'm just eating because I want, because it's there. So mindful eating is probably the best trick. Not being on some crazy diet, that word mm-hmm. we all hate, mm-hmm. and not trying to count up all your points on Thanksgiving. Just trying to be mindful and say, okay, I will have my pie, but I'm going to maybe just eat a small slice and see what that tastes like. Oh, and a good thing to do with mindful eating is say, ew, this tastes gross, okay, I'm going to push it away. I'm not going to finish it like maybe my grandmother taught me to, right? I don't know when, what generation we could say ended it or started it, but, you know, we were, at least even myself, we were taught never to throw anything away, never to waste our food. So even if it tasted gross, we needed to finish it.
In my house, you ate it.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Well, in today's world with too much plentiful food, right, there's just foods everywhere, we need to be mindful. We shouldn't put as much on our plate, and B, if it's not tasty, it's okay. You're not going to go, you know, down under for throwing a piece of chicken away or throwing a piece of pizza away, half eaten.
Right.
That's mindful.
You know, in my house, when I was growing up, my mother cooked every night.
Mm-hmm.
And she filled your plate.
Oh, yeah. That's hard. She filled it.
She filled it.
Yeah.
And she was not skimpy with it, by any stretch, you know.
Yeah.
And you ate it.
Right.
You know. So, you know.
It gets hard, right?
Exactly.
Your own amount on. You're
right.
If you're something you don't like, you just put a little dab. If something you love, you still, you know.
Right, right.
Oh, so, you poor thing.
Oh, well. Yeah. What are some of the healthier options for holidays or Thanksgiving mm-hmm. or Christmas or whatever, favorite things?
Yeah. So number one, we talk about, you know, making sure that we eat, you know, the number one tip would be we eat earlier in the day also. We don't try to, like, skip the meals, right? Like, oh, I'm going to go pig out at 2 o'clock this afternoon, or, you know, I'm going to go eat a big festive meal at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to save all my calories. No, that's not advised. It's best to still eat your breakfast like you usually do, eat a healthy lunch or some sort of meals, so that when you sit down to that holiday eating, you actually can eat, but you're not starving mad. You know, you've got control. Mm-hmm. You can mm-hmm. do the mindful, right? So you can do the mindful eating and have some good control over what you're choosing. Then we also say make sure your beverages are low calorie. Not wasting, well, in my opinion, I'm saying eggnog's not worth the calories, right? I'd rather spend it on stuffing and gravy than on eggnog. So I would say choose your calories wisely when it comes to beverages.
Could it be a small glass of eggnog?
Maybe a sip or two, right? If you love that eggnog, take a sip or two, you know? Yeah, take a 2-ounce, 4-ounce little shot glass and put it in there so that you got the satisfaction, but you didn't consume 16 ounces, right? And then, of course, always the protein, the chicken, the turkey, the ham. Ham's a little higher sodium. But again, depending on who you are, your doctor might be totally fine with that. They make low sodium ham now too. All the veggies, the sweet potatoes are really healthy actually, as long as there's not the marshmallow on mm-hmm. top.
Right.
Sweet potatoes are a really good choice, and even the mashed potatoes.
What about sweet potato fries?
Oh, I don't know.
All the good stuff. See,
I would say if they were freshly cooked, if you and your wife took the time to chop them up at home, throw them in a little bit of oil, and then throw them on a pan to cook, you made some very healthy sweet potato fries. If you go to
the restaurant, diner or whatever,
and they threw it into like a vat of oil to cook for 10 minutes, then believe it or not, all the antioxidants too, all the healthy benefits to fruits and vegetables is in the sweet potato, the apple, the healthy stuff.
Right.
It's gone. Once you fry it, it's gone. So the vitamin C, the vitamin A that is in a sweet potato is gone. In a fried French fry.
Oh, well. You make it difficult, you know.
I just pass on the message. Yeah. I'm not going home with you and forcing you to do anything. Yeah. I'm just, my favorite saying is, it is what it is. You know, life is what it is. And it is hard to eat healthy in today's world because we've gotten so used to, all the fun foods and the, stuff that's not as healthy for us. Tough.
With that, we're going to have to take a quick break.
No problem.
We'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright and we are very privileged to have with us Velta Sushi, who is a registered dietitian and a whole lot of other letters after her name.
Okay.
And she's with the Center for Nutrition and Diabetic Medicine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got that right. I remembered that part. Hey, you know. And we've been talking about eating healthy, which is a problem for me.
No, I think you're doing okay. Yeah. I meet a lot of people, and I think, you know, you're doing okay.
We try.
Yeah, good.
But coming up with the holidays,
mm-hmm.
People will have probably a lot of parties to go to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest that scenario to help people stop overeating from going to all these parties?
Yeah. Well, number one, it's important to realize that you're going to maybe go to more than one, you know, because people will say, oh, it's a party. I can indulge, right? I'll splurge just because it's a party. And I would agree if it's the only one, if you're not going to any other ones. But most people get invited to a work party and then maybe a neighbor's party and then your own family party, you know, through the mm-hmm. – and it's maybe not all 1 week. It might actually only be once a week or a couple times this month, but it can add up, and we do have to, keep that in mind. If I know that I'm going to be going to a couple parties this month, how am I going to not overindulge? Because all my hard work and trying to keep my weight off or to keep the calories down will quickly add up. Do you know that on the average, I think it's 5 pounds that most people will gain between November 1st and January 1st is an average of 5 pounds. and it goes on, so unfortunately, it goes on so quickly, and then trying to get it back off is
that's a joy. Yeah.
Right. So trying to say, okay, my first party what's the setting, right? And what's my favorite there? You know, maybe what one thing am I going to have fun with? You know, not all the options there. If I'm not a big fan of some of the appetizers, maybe I'll just skip them. I'll focus in on the entree because we're going to an Italian restaurant, right? And I'll skip the extra calories in the appetizer. Or maybe if I look forward to my neighbor's party because her desserts are the favorite. You know, so I might not have desserts as much at the first party and indulge at the second party in the desserts because those are my favorite there. But kind of like picking and choosing, just like when you go holiday shopping and you've got $100 in your pocket and you've got maybe four family members you've got to shop for. You can't spend all $100 on one family member.
$425 gift cards, that's it.
Yes, there you go. But you did the planning. You see, you quickly thought it through. So, and then what's hard is with the money, there's quickly a penalty, right? You've got three family members that are really mad if you spent it all on one person.
Of course.
With food, nobody's there to really penalize you except for yourself. Or maybe your lab work 6 months later. And that's why food is such a challenge. You know, it's more of a personal self-control. But trying to say, okay, this is what I've got for the month. Let's try to, balance it out, budget it.
And I would think, unless someone is extremely, extremely strict with themselves, that people will overindulge over the holiday season between now and January 1st.
Right.
So if they do, how do they get back on track?
Okay, good question. Yes, they do. Many of us do, start overindulging.
Right.
And the best, number one, is to say, okay, as I think about this right now, even if you're listening to the radio and say, yes, that's me, number one, try to prevent it, right? And say, okay, I'm going to have fun, but only, set rules. Say, only on Thanksgiving, this Thursday, and maybe on that other holiday. But if, let's say you overindulge for 30 days straight, you've got to just say, now is the time. Like, you don't wake up and say, oh, tomorrow I'll do it, or starting Monday. Like, let's say me and you are talking, and you say, yes, I agree. I've fallen off the wagon, or I'm overindulging. And then in your brain you say, let's start Monday. No. It's do it now. Kind of like with other, therapies. Like, if I had a friend who thought he was drinking too much, he shouldn't wait till next week to go get help. If he feels I need help, you just go right now, right? Go get that help now, not defer it till later, because then we just keep deferring. That, I'm going to start eating healthy again on Monday, we'll just keep going from one Monday to the next Monday.
And it'll, you know me, huh?
Yeah, no. We all know each other. That's human nature, I think. It's natural for us to keep deferring. So do it now. Wake up on December 28th or whatever day you wake up on and say, this is it. I've gone along enough, I gained whatever weight. Let's start now. And get some help from your family. It is hard if you yourself alone are just trying to eat healthy, and let's pretend you live with two other family members and they keep bringing in extra holiday cookies and they keep bringing in all the extra leftovers and stuff. It's going to be harder. So ask for support from your family and say, hey, if you guys need that cookie, could you at least keep it in the cupboard? Or don't tell me where you keep it so I don't go, but you need that family support.
And do you, I know you have to do everybody individually, right? Because everybody's different.
Yeah.
Do you attribute a calorie maximum or to certain people?
Yes, we will, if that's what you're interested in, right? So every person's a little different. Some people say, I want calories. I need to know exactly how many to do. And we'll give them that. We'll say, okay, based on your height, your weight, your age, your activity level, okay, let's start with this many. Most women, for example, need 1,400 to 1,600 calories, right? Most men need 1,600 to 2,000, very much depending on who they are. And the more you have an office job, or the more you sit, you're going to be close to the lower end of the calorie needs. And so then that person, you know, giving them calories can sometimes be helpful. Because if I tell you that a slice of pecan pie is 500 calories, but you have no, you know, if you have no idea how many I need for the day, it means nothing, right?
Right.
But if you have a limit, you're like, oh, I'm only supposed to be getting 1,500, and that's already 500? That's like a third of my whole day, right?
Right, right.
1,500, 500, that's one third. And then maybe be like, oh, now I get it. Now I want to just cut that pecan slice in half and only eat half of the pie, you know, the slice maybe. And all those extra calories we eat go into those fat cells. That's how the fat cells grow, is from the excess calories that we're consuming.
Do you find that some of your clients will skip a meal?
Yes. Oh, a lot of clients will say, oh, I look so forward to eating so much at the end of the day that I skip breakfast or I skip lunch. Unfortunately, when you do that, it backfires. And you'll even eat more calories, you know, in the end of the day if you're starving mad. Right, so it is so important not to skip meals, to eat, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Try to spread everything out through the day.
I know it's tough for, you know, a family, but like in my circumstances, I'm retired.
Okay.
So consequently, is it better to eat a bigger meal at lunchtime than at supper?
Absolutely. If you're more active earlier in the day, you want to get more of your calories and your food, all your nutrients earlier in the day. Yes. And just like many European countries do,
right,
we should be probably doing that. You know,
it's like eat my steak at, you know, 1 o'clock, right?
Sure. Actually, yes. You know, if that might actually help some people, you know, to actually control their appetite through the whole day. And then they burn more of it because they're still going to go outside and go for a walk, or they're going to go rake leaves, or even get into the car and go to a doctor's office requires more calorie burning than watching TV tonight.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, or, you know, well, a lot of times, you know, it's chopping firewood or, you know, that sort of thing.
And you do that somewhere between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., not at 9 o'clock at night after dinner.
Not at 9 o'clock in the morning either, actually. But,
yeah, so a bigger meal earlier in the day is definitely ideal for a lot of families.
All right, if somebody has a bigger meal during the day, then what would they eat for, like, supper? Like soup and a sandwich or what?
Light. Literally imagine the American meals and flip them. Like, typically a lot of us would like to have a soup and a salad for lunch and then a big meal. No, totally flip them. Have a half of a sandwich and a big cup of soup for dinner, or have a salad and a soup for dinner. Even just a little, you know, chili, you know, hot chili with a couple of crackers, but not a lot, you know, just a small light one, because you already had your big meal, you know, with your hot veggies and stuff earlier in the day. You know what I'm going to recommend, though? Not to have cereal.
Not have cereal,
Do not consider your cereal as a light meal. And I'm just going to say that as a general rule of thumb, because cereal is loaded with carbs. It will bring a person's
blood sugar. Are you talking about
all the boxed cereal, not
the boxed cereal?
Hot cereal like oatmeal is fine. You know, I've even had that for dinner sometimes when the kids aren't home. But I'm talking about Corn Flakes, Cheerios, Rice Krispies, even Raisin Bran or whatever. Most of us, unless it's half of a cup to one cup of cereal, which most people don't do. We look forward to a big bowl of cereal.
Right.
It's actually, you know, more effect on your blood sugars than a sandwich would have been. It's healthier to have a turkey and cheese sandwich at 6 o'clock at night than a big bowl of cereal.
I don't like cereal at night anyway. I eat it in the morning, but I don't like it at night.
That's why I said it, because I just meet a lot of people who do, you know, when they want a light meal, they think a cereal is so quick and so easy, and they don't realize how much that affects, how much carbs and how much sugar and how much that affects our
calories. I think of a soup or a salad or something like that for a light meal, and, you know, half a sandwich or something, you know, like you said. Rather, you know, cereal to me, you eat that in the morning, so you can work it off during the day.
Yes, I agree.
You know? You know, if a person's on a diet, and they overeat or overindulge, put it that way, does that ruin their diet?
Not if it's been just once, you know, not if it's just going to be that, You know, you're a healthy eater Monday through Friday, right? You're a healthy eater 7 days a week most of the time. And then you go to a friend's house, you know, once a month and you splurge? No, you're not ruining anything, you know. Or if you're going to go to Thanksgiving this week, no, you're not ruining it at all. You're just having a little fun that day. Okay, but what's important is to get right back on that healthy eating plan, you know.
Friday,
exactly, as soon as possible. Right. What happens to some will, they'll get that, that their brain will get the reminder of how yummy the sugar was and how yummy the fats were. So it sometimes behavior change to go back to healthy eating could be a little hard, right?
Okay.
So depending on the person, it might trigger them to get off track for a couple of weeks. So you just got to be on your, you know, A game and not let that happen.
Right, right. What about coffee?
In regards to the morning, in regards...
Well, I only drink it in the morning, one cup.
Okay.
Of course, a cup is about yay high, but, you know. But when I worked, I must have drank 10 cups a day.
Oh.
So I'm just saying, you know, what about coffee?
Coffee. So caffeine could be something that affects you, or it may not, right? So I've met people who get jittery, who get heart palpitations, like different effects from the caffeine. It's a stimulant, right? Others, like, you know, you said, oh, I was 30 years old and I drank 10 cups a day.
Yeah.
Then coffee might not be as big of a concern, the caffeine that is. Or some, for some people, reflux, you know, the heartburn somebody experienced, could be because of caffeine and the acid in the coffee. Others say, nope, not a problem. And then it's what you put in your coffee that plays a role. I did a person that came in, said, oh, I just drink coffee. It's, you know, it's probably not a big deal. I drink, like you said, like 6 cups a day or something. We talked about what that person was putting in their coffee. It was like 200 calories per cup. That's 200 times 6. That's over 1,000 calories just from the coffee.
Right.
You know, that person was putting a lot of sugar, a lot of
cream. Right.
So
right.
It depends. But overall, you know, a little bit of dark coffee with a little bit of cream or milk in it in the morning, usually most people will be okay with it. Unless your doctor has told you.
I have to put a little bit of sugar in it. But
okay. And speaking of sugar, one of those little packets, you know, from like a restaurant.
Right,
That's 5 grams of sugar. Okay? So if that's all you're putting in, you know, is that little half of a packet to kill the acid or to kill the, you know, that tart flavor, then that's not, you shouldn't, you know, feel guilty about that. It's the, not you, but the person who may be eating a half a container of ice cream at night or 5 pounds of potatoes every night. That's their concern, not the little bit of sugar in their coffee.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It depends on the
situation. Depends on the individual and the circumstances too, right?
So answer your question, coffee may be okay. It, you know, depends on, you know, what you're putting in it.
Oh, well.
it sounds like you're doing okay.
I got to have my coffee in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
So, what do you put in yours?
I put a lot of skim milk. It actually ends up being more like a latte. It's like maybe less than half coffee, mostly milk. I have to reheat it because it gets so cold. And then I get, my favorite is peppermint creamer. You know,
okay.
And a touch of that. So it like, tastes like peppermint milk chocolate. I don't know.
It doesn't take like coffee then, right?
No, it's not coffee.
Right. Well, I can't thank you enough, Velta, for, you know, coming back again.
Yeah.
And I hope you people out there have gotten some information that they may not have had.
Good.
Is there a phone number they can reach you at if they want more?
Yes. We're right here in Flemington, and the phone number is 908-237-6920. 237-6920. Yeah.
Okay.
And we can also be found on the 100 and Healthcare website. So they've, you know, a year or two ago, they changed the whole thing. And now you just go to the 100andhealthcare.org website, and under services, you find all of us, you know, mental health and nutrition, cardiac, all that good stuff. We're there too.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
I love coming here. And every couple of months, we see each
other. There you go. And I hope you have a very healthy Thanksgiving.
You too, Larry.
Right.
You too. Thank
you. All right. Thank you so much. And remember, folks, watch what you eat. You know, not just watch it while you're eating it, but watch what you eat. And we'll see you again next week. Same time, same station.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey,